Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on this joke horse. But it's no horse bar, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold. What is up, ladies and gentlemen? It is your boy, We Too Deep, here with another episode of the Slappin' Mead Wrestling Podcast. It is Thanksgiving Day. I found some time to get away real quick while the food's still, you know, cooking. Football hasn't come on yet. By the time this gets posted, football will probably be on. You'll probably be enjoying the Lions and the Bears. And at that point, you know, hopefully you use this as a way to maybe be entertained during that Giants-Cowboys game, seeing that it's probably going to be the battle of the third stringers at quarterback with Drew Lock starting for the Giants and probably Trey Lance or Cooper Rush playing for the Cowboys. So with that being said, let's jump right on in. I'm not going to try to take too long out of your day, also my day. Try not to make a long episode. There are a couple things mentioned in the title that I want to talk about. Ricky Starks, we got to talk about some of these AEW fans, and we got to talk about some final War Games thoughts that were not maybe fully talked about on Tuesday's episode. So without further ado, let's go ahead and start talking about that. As always, as we always start these shows, links in the description for our affiliate links, WWE Shop or Expedia. Y'all know all about it. Black Friday's tomorrow. They may have deals then. Definitely probably will have deals on Cyber Monday. Use that link to just support the channel. With that being said, let's jump into this Ricky Starks situation, right? I want to break this down because I had no idea what the fuck was going on, right? All I knew about Ricky Starks was that it's been about a year since he's been on TV, it feels like, right? Like, he got seen at a WWE show backstage with Cody, and then all of a sudden he's removed from TV, and it appears like they have nothing going for him, and his contract was supposed to end this year, but apparently there was an option year that Tony Khan picked up, which, you know, we'll talk about the players involved in this situation individually, right? So what I want to do, how I want to break this down, is I want to talk about what's going on, how the fans respond to it, and then why I should care or what my response is. Why should I care is the question that I have for this situation. So from my understanding, this is what happened, right? So Tony Khan's been running, you know, throughout the history of AEW, this partnership with, I think it's Game Changer Wrestling is what GCW stands for. To me, it's just garbage championship wrestling, but I got to be careful with how I say that, because GCW also runs some WWE content. Like, I want to be fair to GCW. I'm not a big fan of the blood sport type events, but hey, if everyone wants to have that type of working relationship with this company, that's fine. It is what it is, right? And so Ricky Starks was promoted for two of their upcoming events. And then apparently Effie, one of the an independent wrestler named Effie, who's big in like Florida and Georgia and the Carolinas, but mostly in Florida is where I know him from. He said something along the lines about Shad Khan, something maybe, I'm assuming it had something to do with, like, you know, Shad Khan's put a lot of money into it. I don't know the exact comment, of this. And so, you know, Shad Khan has money, and that's why it's where it's at. I'm assuming that's what the comment was. Correct me if I'm wrong, anyone who has more information on that, right? And so Tony Khan ends up pulling Ricky Starks from these events, right? And so the internet up, the IWC just completely lost its mind over this decision to pull Ricky Starks, because Ricky Starks hasn't really been doing much of anything for the last, like, year, it feels like, right? And so I want to take this from the three different perspectives. The first one I want to look at is Effie. My question is, Effie, what the fuck, like, what are you doing? Why are you going out making comments about, like, here's the thing. Effie wasn't going to make it past the indies. I've seen him wrestle. He's not good. He's fully gimmick. He's one of these wrestlers, like, that sort of pigeonhole themselves into this niche of being a gay wrestler, right? And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with being a gay wrestler. Perfectly fine. But when you make your gimmick just that, when that is your gimmick, and the only thing that I can pick up on without watching you, like, just from the outside looking in, is that you're a gay wrestler, you sort of pigeonhole yourself into certain situations, right? There's no other character work from Effie. He's an okay wrestler, but it's not necessarily, like, you're not getting signed to WWE or AEW with this gimmick, right? You're just not doing it, right? They're not putting that on TV as, like, the primary focus, right? You don't have good enough wrestling skills to be on AEW, and I don't think Effie's good enough as a fully entertainer to entertain the masses at WWE. He's also aging a little bit, advanced in age, right? Not a big deal, but I think Effie's also one of these wrestlers. I talk about wrestlers who don't care about WWE because the indies is where they make their money. And so he's found this niche in the fan base of wrestling, and he stays there. And for whatever reason, he decides to go and run his mouth. I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. Right. So from the Effie standpoint, I don't understand why you talk about Tony Khan or Shad Khan this way. Makes no sense to me. Right. That's all the time I'm going to spend on Effie, because this really is a Tony Khan, Ricky Starks thing. Right. So from Ricky Starks, and I don't think Ricky Starks has said anything. And so there's really not much to talk about in terms of Ricky Starks. It's more so the fan base perspective. And I'll get to the fan response to this in a minute. Tony Khan, let's talk about Tony Khan here, right? Tony Khan has, within his rights as the owner and CEO and the boss of the company, to do whatever he wants with the people who are contractually signed to his company, right? So he can pull Ricky Starks if he wants to. I don't have a problem with that, right? My problem that I have with this is you're selective in who you pull, right? Because these comments were apparently said like on a Saturday, and then I think it was last Saturday or something, and then like last Monday GCW ran a show or something. Like after the comments were said, GCW ran a show, you know, Ricky Starks was pulled, but you didn't pull some other talent from another GCW show, right? And so I don't try to get into the drama, because this is the ultimate thing. Tony Khan, you have another pay-per-view weekend where you came out of full gear, and the two things that that's being talked about with your company is double chunk chocolate cookie Costco guys being your main draw, which is a problem in and of itself. But the number two being the Ricky Starks drama is overseeing the entire pay-per-view. There's another pay-per-view weekend that's completely covered in what I see. And I'm not a follower of AEW at all, right? I can't see their stuff on Facebook. For whatever reason, I think that they've blocked my restriction. Like, they've put a restriction. I literally cannot find their page on Facebook. I'm 100% certain the admins of that page blocked me. I cannot see their stuff on Facebook. It's crazy. I don't understand. I don't interact with you. Maybe once or twice in the beginning of the company, I don't remember saying anything too negative that would get me banned from it, but that's crazy, right? But on like X and stuff, I don't pay attention to their stuff. I don't follow it. You know, I'll check it out every now and then to see if someone said, oh, you see what happened on AEW, I'll go search it up. But I don't interact. I don't engage in that type of content. And so when all I see on the timeline, because the way the algorithm works, right, when all I see on the timeline is Costco guys and Ricky Starks, that's a bad pay-per-view weekend to me, right? And so, Tony Khan, you got to figure out this drama situation that you have in your company. Seems like every time you have a pay-per-view, there's drama that comes out, right? The second thing I want to talk about in far as Tony Khan is, like, you can't be selective in whom you issue certain punishments for, right? So my question then with this is, why are you holding on to Ricky Starks? You obviously have no plan for him. If you did, you would have him on TV, right? Like, and someone may try to compare this to like the Sammy Guevara situation, where he kept Sammy off TV, didn't really have much for him, and now they just threw him on ROH. I think there's deeper reasons for that. I think when you have someone like Mercedes Moné, whom Sammy has said negative, derogatory things about in the past, you want to try to keep them away from each other. I think that has more to do with it than people are playing into. I think Sammy's grown up and matured, especially now that he's married with a child. I think Sammy's more mature than that. But you don't want to, you know, you don't know how everyone feels about it. Obviously, you should be professional enough to work around that. But Tony Khan can do what he wants here. I don't have a problem with how they're using Sammy Guevara if they don't have anything for him on AEW television. But with Ricky Starks, to just pull him and not allow him to do anything, I don't necessarily see the reason why you would issue and pick up the option. I don't understand why you would pick up the option of his contract if you don't have anything to use him with, right? This is solely so he's not in WWE at this point in time, right? People want to talk about WWE signing people for the purpose of AEW not having them. Well, WWE is picking up, you know, adding on medical time and picking up option years, which is crazy to put in a wrestling contract in the first place. Just so WWE can't have Phoenix at the same time they have Penta. Now, the Wavy D has written a very good story in the casual wrestling community Discord of how you introduce it, where you bring Penta into an NXT, have him have a decent like North American championship run. Maybe he ends up on the main roster in some like 2-on-1 situation in about a year or two, in about a year and a half when Phoenix's contract ends, and then Phoenix shows up as sort of like backup, and that and you get a 2-for-1 debut. Beautifully written storyline that you could do there with the Lucha Bros, right? But you're holding Phoenix for injury time. Hey, you can do whatever you want. That's perfectly fine. Vince McMahon used to do it. That's fine. I'm not going to critique you for doing that. I just think it's weird how you're selective with who you do it with, right? And if we're going to call balls and strikes and call strikes against WWE for doing it, can we be consistent? Because this is the AEW argument is, well, WWE did it, so AEW can do it, and that's fine. But or you'll critique WWE for doing it, but you won't critique AEW for doing it. And now the narrative has changed that, oh, well, you guys used to do it too, right? And so let's call balls and strikes. Let's be fair. If your argument is Tony Khan as a business owner can do what he wants with his contractually signed superstars, which is completely within his rights, 100% agree with, well, then so can Vince McMahon or Triple H or Endeavor and Nick Khan and all of those guys, right? And so my bigger issue that I have with this is the fan response to this issue. And the next couple minutes are just going to be me blasting on the fan. The AEW fans are weird in multiple different ways, right? So you have people responding to this as if Ricky Starks was like the most prominent figure on NXT television, and then Tony Khan just pulled him off and he's being treated unfairly. You also have fans that are, maybe in the other way, you know, saying that Ricky Starks, that Ricky Starks is good and should be on AEW television, and there's a whole bunch of drama. All I got to say is it's drama, right? It's hard to even fully wrap your head around as someone like me who actually doesn't give a fuck. And that's why I asked the question, why should I care? Tony Khan is doing with his company what he wants to do with his company. That's fine. I don't necessarily think as a business owner, if I ran a promotion and I had no plans for Ricky Starks, I wouldn't have picked up the option. I would have let him walk in the free agency. That's fine. I have bigger stars. I don't think Ricky Starks, personally, I don't think Ricky Starks is, you know, the greatest thing AEW has to offer. I feel like he tries too hard. I'll compare him to LA Knight. That's what I see when I see Ricky Starks. I see LA Knight, right? Someone who tries too hard at being what the niche 90s Attitude Era fans like, The Rock, Stone Cold type character, right? When I see LA Knight, I see Stone Cold. When I see Ricky Starks, I see The Rock. And they're trying too hard to play that gimmick, right? And so for me, I think Ricky Starks, if he comes to WWE, that's a big shock. That's a big name, but it's not that big, right? It's not that big. Like when Cody got here, right, it was big, but like I predicted it before the company even started, before their first event, right? Like I always go back to this. There's no like physical evidence of this. When I first started podcasting, right, me, Cody, and James used to do a show together, all three of us together, right? And I don't quite remember the name of it. It's not on the internet that I know, that I'm aware of. But when January of 2019, when this company was announced, around that time, me, Cody, and James sat down and did a podcast together where I essentially told them that within 5 years of their company, let's go behind the curtain a little bit. When I get on the mic, I exaggerate some things and I play a gimmick. I think it makes us a lot more fun for me to sit here and play a gimmick than just sit here and be boring, right? And so I've always felt that way. I've always felt it was always easier to play a heel gimmick. And so I've always sort of been like super like negative heel type character. It's still my opinions, but I say them in a way that's a little bit more outrageous than how I would typically talk in real life, right? I've eased off, I've edged off a little bit of the extreme like hyperbole type content. Like I feel like a lot of that is cringe, to be honest with you. Looking back, it was cringe. But back then in 2019, I said within the first 5 years, I could see some of these people jumping ship. And I said the easiest one to predict was Cody Rhodes. I guaranteed Cody Rhodes, and I said Omega and Hangman and the Elite, and that was a little bit foolish, right? But I was 100% certain, even back in 2019, before they had their first event as a company, that Cody Rhodes was going to be within the first 5 years of AEW, which would put us at 2024. It took even less time than that, right? I was fully confident that Cody Rhodes would be in WWE within the first 5 years of AEW. Because I saw what Cody Rhodes saw in the company was that he got released and his entire goal was to get back, but he had to build his status to where they couldn't just throw him back in the US title or IC title picture and forget about him. He had to make himself a big name, right? So he ran the indie scene very smart, where he took big name fights and made his name on the indie scene. I would say 2017, 2018, 2019 Cody Rhodes was the biggest name on the independent scene at the time. He joins the Bullet Club, which was massive popularity at that point in the indie circuit, right? In the indie world was maybe the most popular thing is the Bullet Club. They get into Hot Topic with their shirts. Very popular thing, right? 2019 happens, AEW starts, right? And Cody Rhodes, again, being smart, understands that at some point, you know, 3-year contract, this thing's over. I'm going to step down as EVP. All the signs were there that I was right. Right now, I think Omega, I think is regretting not going over there when he had the opportunity, just personally. And I think he's doing what he can to stay out of the AEW drama so that he can go over there, right? But losing Cody, losing Punk is big, right? I don't necessarily think Ricky Starks has that same level of effect if he gets to WWE, right? Cody wasn't a surprise to me. I think to some others in the wrestling universe who thought he would be an AEW lifer, it was a surprise. But Cody wasn't a surprise to me. I predicted it in 2019 that he would be back in WWE before 2024. Right? It wasn't a surprise to me when he showed up and that they put the belt on him. This, none of this is a surprise to me. Right? Ricky Starks wouldn't be a surprise if he showed up in WWE. I almost expected it. Right? Going into 2024, right, we had MJF and we had Daniel Garcia and we had Ricky Starks as people all potentially who could come in to WWE, right? And of the three, I was most confident in Ricky Starks. Like 100% expect him in the next 2 years to be in WWE. 100%. When this option year is over, I think he's going to WWE. I 100% Ricky Starks will be here by the end of next year. And so I don't understand the fan reaction. You have like the two extremes, either Ricky Starks too good to not be on shows or Ricky Starks, they're trying to throw blame at Tony, and partially this is Tony, but Tony has the right to pull them from the shows. I don't understand this whole narrative that they're trying to build. Like I'm going to defend Tony Khan here for a minute. He has the right to pull him from the shows if for whatever reason, unless there's some contract he had with GCW where like Ricky Starks was contractually obligated to be at the show and there's no way you could pull him, right? Right, but then more drama comes out, I think, yesterday that like Effie's not even working with GCW. He's not contractually signed there, so he doesn't represent the company. Whole bunch of drama, right? My number one thing I want to talk about here is why is there so much drama in the indie scene? You don't see this shit in WWE, and this is why I like it. They come in, they do their job, they do what they need to do, and they leave. And any drama that we do have either, A, becomes a storyline, or B, like, we don't really hear about it, and it gets solved itself, right? There's just a lot of shit going on. And this is why AEW, I believe, will never extend, in my viewpoint, above just a glorified indie show with a budget. Right, that's all this is. This is a glorified indie show with a budget. And the wrestling world, this just shows like this is part of the reason why I don't want to be a wrestler and don't want to get into the business. As much as I have like these fantasies of like, oh man, I could do that. I could do what Otis does. Oh man, I want to be Otis, right? I said that on Monday, right? He kissed Maxine on the cheek. Like how I would love to be Otis, right? Or Maxine kissed him on the cheek or something like that, right? How great it would be to be Otis, to have to have gotten to work with Mandy Rose and now Maxine, right? I would love to be Otis, right? But I would hate to be in the wrestling. There's so much politicking that goes on in the wrestling world. It's crazy. And I ain't got time for that. I'm not built for that type of world. I just want to chill, relax, go do my job, and move on to the next city. That's how I would work. Right, I ain't got time for all the behind the scenes games and bullshit like that. Right, I ain't got time for drama. I've always hated drama. Like even in high school, like I stayed away from the drama. I ain't got time for all of that. Right, I'm chill. I do what I got to do, and I leave. Right. I just ain't got time for that. So my bigger question, let's go to the end of this segment here and ask the question, why should I care? And the question is, you shouldn't. A normal person should not care about wrestling drama. I'm only talking about it because it gives me a little bit of something to scream at the fans about. And I think it's a bigger thing, but like even like casual fans, y'all are hyping Ricky Starks up too much. We shouldn't care about Ricky Starks. If he shows up in WWE, cool. He's a mid-carder. He's not a top-of-the-line guy. He's not. And so I don't see what the big deal with Ricky Starks is at all, right? I think Tony – where I will not defend Tony is I think Tony was calculating – that if he just pulled Ricky Starks off of TV, picked up this option year, then not used Ricky Starks, that the fans would forget about Ricky Starks. And so when he shows up at WWE, there's no impact. And it's a calculated risk, but I think it's bad because the online world where a lot of this, where the online world where people care about this type of stuff, won't forget about Ricky Starks. Especially when you pull him from a card like this, when we haven't really seen him wrestle in about 8 months. Right? And so unless this turns into some storyline, if I'm Tony Khan, turn like a disgruntled Ricky Starks into a storyline. Have him join like Moxley or something. Right? Or join the Elite against in a fight against Tony Khan or something. I don't know why you haven't done that already. So let's move on to the next topic. And that's how weird these fans are, man. So Monday night, WWE's in Phoenix. Vanessa Hudgens is sitting front row behind the announcers. And I see them. Like, they're doing some little segment talking, and I see the girl in the front row behind the announcers, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, is that Vanessa Hudgens? Right? Like, you know me from my Thirsty Tuesday stuff. Like, Vanessa Hudgens was my childhood crush. She was my, she was it, right? She was it. And I don't, like, and she looked good, right? She looked good still, right? And I'm like, that's Vanessa Hudgens. And then, like, 20 minutes later, they announce her, right? That it's Vanessa Hudgens. And so, and that's about as far as that should have gone, right? Oh, Vanessa Hudgens is at a show. She's a normal human being. She likes wrestling. Let it be, right? But now, man, these weirdos who... These weirdos who sit and watch AEW, like, I don't know if they know how to talk to human beings regularly, right? Like, I don't know what goes through someone's mind when they see a celebrity at a show who, and then they pick up their phone or log onto the computer in the basement and say, hey, Vanessa, you like WWE, you should watch AEW. And then just continue tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet for like 3 days. Adding Vanessa, bro, that's weird. That's weird, dude. Beautiful, beautiful woman, you should watch AEW. Bro, you're weird. That's not how you talk to women, dude. That's just weird to me. That's just weird to me. And they ran off Kat Dennings. I think it's her last name. I always want to say Dunnings, but I think it's Dennings. Kat Dennings. She played in Two Broke Girls. That's where I know her from. Beautiful woman, absolutely beautiful, right? Funny, intelligent, you know, all of that shit, right? And she comes in, shows, you know, tweets her support about WWE. You know, celebrities do that, and then these AEW fans are just weird. And just trying to like run these people off. And here's the thing. I like Kat Dennings. She's fantastic at her craft. Does, right. I always love to have celebrity like viewership on in the company, right? On the industry, because as a wrestling fan, I want this thing to grow in the mainstream audience. Because that's how it keeps itself relevant, right? And so Kat Dennings does this, and then AEW fans start tweeting at her, you should watch AEW, it's better. You should watch AEW, it's better. You're too beautiful to watch WWE, blah, 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 right? And then you run her off from talking about wrestling. You run off, right? It's crazy to me. Now, here's the thing. I like Kat Dennings, but I love Vanessa Hudgens, right? Like when I say she's my crush, right, I mean that. Now, not in a weird way. Like, I ain't got no chance with her, right? But I refuse to let y'all run off Vanessa Hudgens from the viewership. She supports the Queen, Bianca Belair. She supports Roman Reigns, who looking a little bit like a bitch right now. But you get what I'm saying, right? I refuse to let y'all run off another celebrity that can make this thing big, right? Vanessa Hudgens tweets one time about WWE and gets millions of people's eyes on it, right? I don't understand AEW fans... infatuation with running off people that can make the industry better. Right? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. And as far as we'll talk, y'all fans are weird. That's all I got to say. So let's get into my final thoughts heading into War Games. So there's two things. The first one is everyone's going to talk about a cash-in. There's going to be no cash-in. I don't think the cash-in happens on Saturday. I think it happens the next Friday. I think it happens the next Friday in Minnesota, Minneapolis. And I had a thought watching NXT before I got on here. And I always watch it afterwards, right? I had a thought coming into this. What if it's not next Saturday? Or what if it's not this Saturday? Or what if it's not next Friday? What if it's next Saturday? What if Tiffany Stratton pulls up to Deadline? And I don't know how she would cash in or when she would cash in because Roxanne's not fighting. But I'm assuming Roxanne will be somewhere in the facility of the arena with the title. What if? But I don't think it's going to happen. I think she cashes in on Nia on Friday. I do. Another thought that I had was on another person showing up, and that is The Rock. I do think The Rock shows up on this Saturday. And then I think he shows up in Minnesota on next Friday to explain why he showed up, right? But I also think that leaves the opportunity for him to show up at Deadline. Now, why is that? Well, because SmackDown's in Minneapolis and Deadline's in Minneapolis. They're running smart again with how they double share cities, right? And now there's a reason for him to show up. He could get in Eddie Thorpe's face. Hey, don't put your hands on my daughter, dude. I'm the final boss. You don't want to cross me. And then just walk off the scene, right? I think it would be cool to get Ava. Like, imagine if Ava sort of was, like, secretly in this new bloodline, and that's why she allowed the Tongans to show up and attack when they did, because she just let it go through and they didn't really get punished. I don't know, man. It's a theory, right? And then my final thought is I'm 100% sold that Bianca Belair is the one who pushed Jade Cargill. I think they're going to turn her heel. You can't turn Jade heel. Jade is like a crowd favorite. I think we're going to cut the braid off. I think we're going to have like natural Bianca. I think it's corresponding with the turn of the Street Profits. All three of them are going to turn heel and I think be a faction. And Jade's going to need to, you know, find her some friends to battle off the Street Profits, right? But I think this is how we lean into. I know there's a lot of people who think it's Charlotte or Bayley, and I think Bayley's like the obvious, like, and it's too obvious that Triple H is putting it out there that it's Bayley. It's too obvious that it makes me want to sniff another direction, right? I think he's trying to misdirect us. He does this with some of his storytelling, right? I think Bayley's too obvious. It's like suspiciously too obvious. I think it's Bianca. I'm 100% convinced that it's Bianca Belair. Charlotte makes no sense. I don't know why. Like you can get to Jade versus Charlotte without Charlotte pushing her off a ledge. That does nothing for the story. Charlotte's also going to show up, and she's getting Tiffany Stratton at Mania. So there's no Jade Charlotte payoff immediately. Like that's like SummerSlam, right? Like I could see a reality where we get Charlotte versus Tiffany, we get Bianca versus Jade, and then at SummerSlam you get, you know, Jade versus Charlotte and maybe Bianca versus Tiffany for the title, right? I think you could have that world where that happens. We're also finally starting to tease again a Rhea versus Bianca thing. I think Bianca turns heel in this match. I think something happens where she attacks Rhea Ripley. I 100% think that that happened. Y'all haven't watched enough of these war games. I've seen a war games match a lot, especially from the NXT times, right, where Dakota Kai turned on everyone she was in a match with. Granted, she's not in this match, but someone's turning in this match. I've seen way too many of them, right? And it's not Tiffany. I don't see a way logistically you can get a cash-in to happen. Because the problem with the cash-in is in this match is you have a match going on, and a cash-in during a match just makes the current match a championship match. That's how it's always been, right? So if it was like, let's say this was like a standard match when it's Naomi versus Nia, if you cash in during the match, it just becomes a triple threat. And the winner of the match becomes the champion, right? It just becomes a triple threat, which is, to me, like, logically speaking, it makes no sense to cash in during a match, right? Like, if Tiffany Stratton would have cashed in, let's say, between Naomi and Nia Jax, there's literally a chance at that point, once that bell rings and it's cashed in, that Naomi could go home the champion. So it makes no sense to cash in during a match. You always cash in after. And I just don't see that happening. I think they tease it, and then we get it Friday. I 100% agree with that. But I definitely think we get The Rock. I don't think we get a cash-in. And Bianca Belair is the one who pushed Jade. 100%. That's my theory right now. And it may change as more information is given to us. But as we stand right now, I think she's acting awfully suspicious, right? She's acting awfully suspicious in this situation, right? I want to engage a little bit more on The Rock. I think he comes in after the match. Wavy D convinced me of this one. It's going to be after the match. I think the new Bloodline wins. A beatdown happens of Roman Reigns and the rest of the team. The safety crew needs to come out. The cage gets lifted. And as the cage gets lifted, the cage is lifted, everyone's there, right? Roman Reigns is getting beaten down. The Rock's music plays. And he comes in. He stops Solo from, like, finishing Roman. But we could clearly tell that The Rock is on Solo's side. We're building towards Mania now, right? We all got to understand that Triple H books in advance. So everything that happens from this point forward is building towards Mania. And we got to start these stories now. These big stories, Jay Bianca, that's a big story. It's just going to be plot building for the rest of the year. Because you don't have another pay-per-view until February. You don't have another pay-per-view till February, right? You're going to have Saturday Night Main Event. That's not a pay-per-view, PLE event. That's on broadcast television. You don't have anything in January, right? You'll run like a Netflix special. You'll probably run like a day one and a something like that. But whatever you do with SmackDown. I forgot what they called it this year. But you don't have an actual PLE until February. February 1st. With Royal Rumble. So you got to build essentially December and January right now. You got to start that right now. And so then when you get to Rumble, then you start putting in some touches of these longer term stories, right? Because I think that's when Charlotte and Tiffany come together. And whoever is going to face Liv more than likely is going to be the winner of the Women's Royal Rumble. Because I think Tiffany's going to cash in on Friday in Minnesota. You know who else's family originates from Minnesota? The Flair family, right? Let me Google that to make sure that I'm not fucking wrong. because I was wrong initially about Tiffany. Okay, so Ric Flair was born in Tennessee, but he went to the University of Minnesota, and then he wrestled. He wrestled in Minnesota. Like he's big in Minnesota, right? Now, also, Brock Lesnar's there. I can see Brock showing up next Friday. I think that would be crazy as shit. But I think Charlotte's family's got some, you know, the Flair name is big in Minnesota as well as it is here in Charlotte, right? It's bigger in Charlotte, right? There's a little, there's less connection to Minnesota, but I think Tiffany cashes in and Charlotte returns and stares her down. We don't see her again till the Rumble. And I'm starting to lean in less of her, or let me actually say it this way. I think we see her a lot before the Rumble. I think she wrestles a lot before the Rumble in that she has to earn her way to the title. And I think she wins Elimination Chamber. I think Charlotte's going to win Elimination Chamber to get Tiffany Stratton. I think the winner of the Rumble is going to be against Liv. Unfortunately, I think that that means Wavy D is pretty close and that it's probably going to be Io Sky. I think that that's going to be the direction. And I know we just did last week our 30 women Rumble and I picked Charlotte as the winner. But when I start to think logically about this, I think Charlotte would be better, more suited showing up in December, right? December and January earning a fix, right? Not winning the Rumble and then getting a spot in March where she is in the Elimination Chamber where she then has to earn her way and she wins that and then she gets Tiffany. That's where I think we're headed. But yeah, I think The Rock shows up, they lift the cage, right? Pull her in. I think we get some big storyline starting tonight or Saturday night. I think Saturday night starts some big stories. I think we're going to start foretelling Jade versus Bianca because there's still 2 months worth of product in that storyline that you can tell me. I think we start Rock versus Roman and picking up towards that. I think Seth versus CM Punk could, you know, boil and start here, right? We're starting the build towards WWE WrestleMania Las Vegas, right? So that's whatever happens on Saturday, understand that everything that happens has a purpose and is to get us to Mania. Mania season starts on Saturday, right? Mania season starts on Saturday. And if we have that mindset, I think it'll help us get through the next 2 months that I think may be slow because there's no PLEs, right? Mania season starts Saturday. So before we get into this mindset of like crapping on the product when it's 8 weeks of boredom, like it is always at this time of year, understand that the payoff is WrestleMania. So it's going to be November 30th, but we're booking for April 20th, right? So just understand that. And with that, I will appreciate, or I do appreciate everybody watching and taking day out of their Thanksgiving. If you're watching it as this drops, if you're listening after, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And I can't wait to see War Games this weekend. Don't forget, it's a special start time of 6 p.m. Eastern time. That means for you Central time folks like Mike and I know Dead Chef is out in Central Time, and I know Nerdy D is Central Time. That's a 5 p.m. Central Time start for you West Coasters. That's a 3 p.m. It's a 3 p.m. start for you guys. So I hope you guys are able to actually watch the show, with us live. But don't forget special start time for it. And depending on how things work, there may be a special episode Sunday. Can't promise you a special review episode Sunday, but definitely next Tuesday. Let's actually go over the schedule here, right? So my work schedule is crazy. With it being holiday season, December is always weird with scheduling for certain jobs, right? So I'm off next Tuesday, right? You're not going to get two episodes on Tuesday, though. What's going to happen is I'm going to record an episode on Tuesday during the day. That's going to be set to drop on Friday. And it's probably going to, you know, I haven't figured out a full topic yet, but I'll probably give my individual thoughts on deadline. The problem with that is I don't know the fifth member. So this really screwed me over here. Right. And so, yeah, the problem is I don't know the fifth member into the deadline match, the matches for deadline, because it's the final final shot matches that are going to be Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday night. And so at some point I'm going to have to record an episode and give my predictions. We may give like half-hearted predictions for deadline. I was really hoping to have Thursday off, because that was the original plan, but things changed again. Either way, we will get an episode out to you guys with next week, individually, as well as me and Wavy D next Tuesday. Until then, y'all have a great weekend. Enjoy War Games, and have a great Thanksgiving. And thank you for joining and watching. Like, share, subscribe, share with your friends. Leave us a review if you're listening on Spotify, Google, or Apple, or any other of those services. That really helps. Comment on the show on YouTube. That really gives us into the algorithm there, right? That's the best way to help support the show, right? I don't want your money. I definitely want you to you know, use our affiliate links. That's wonderful. That tells people that, you know, we're doing what we need to do, right? And we're sending you there to buy product, right? But what I really would love if you guys commented, even if it's just a good comment, just a little quick comment on YouTube of good content. And even if you listen on podcast, right, you don't want to listen to the whole YouTube and watch it, all that, that's fine. Can you just go to the YouTube real quick, subscribe, hit a like, and every Tuesday or every time an episode like this drops, just go hit a like, put a comment of good content, or just something, you know, just comment on it, and that gets it into the algorithm, right? And then that's all I have for it. Thank you again for watching and listening to the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. Until next week, I'm Way Too Deep, and we will see you on another episode of the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, Slapping Meat Wrestling every Tuesday.